Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
But I would really prefer to be cheered. So, like, let's keep that same energy next season. I would love for the WNBA fans, especially those in Connecticut, which I still call my home, to bring out the cheers. Like, I'm a little bit sensitive. It's Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Janae Ogwemeke of the Los Angeles Sparks, formerly the Connecticut Sun, Mike Golic Jr. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And you know what it is. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance with more than 30 unique coverage options available. Progressive knows small business. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. Now, before I get to the low-key, high-key news from the National Football League, make sure you get your hot takes ready. I am so excited because I feel like I've crossed the threshold where I actually book a lot of things, and so I'm leaning into some things. In about 10 minutes, we will play Book It, baby. And we've got not just, you know, sports. We've got movies in the mix. We've got Coming to America, Space Jam 2, and we were just talking about in the break how a certain character is trending, and I still don't know how I feel about it, Junior.
Yo, listen, you guys are some weirdos online right now with this Lola Bunny stuff. All you guys need to calm down and step outside for a breather.
First of all, we know if we weren't on a show, you'd probably be a weirdo right there with them, okay, when it comes...
How dare you? For a cartoon character? A cartoon character.
He said for a cartoon. Okay, maybe not. Maybe I got that wrong. But you know what I did get right? The big news, because the low-key, high-key news circulating the National Football League right now is twofold. One, Ben Roethlisberger is officially back with the Pittsburgh Steelers for the 2021 NFL season. Their team announced today. So clearly, the Pittsburgh Steelers are breaking moves.
Breaking Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to linkedin.com/sports.
Thank you, Queen. And the Pittsburgh Steelers, they did not disclose the terms of the deal, but a source told our own ESPN's Adam Schefter, who we all know was going to come, you called that earlier this morning, that Ben Roethlisberger has willingly reduced his pay to $14 million from $19 million in the final year of his contract and spread the cash payment through 2022. So this move lowers the team's salary cap hit in a year that they really need that more than $15 million. And so that, I mean, Junior, first and foremost, what were your thoughts when Ben Roethlisberger sort of did the right thing here?
Yeah, well, it did the only thing right here, because Ben Roethlisberger was a quarterback that we heard referred to by their GM, Kevin Colbert, not too long ago as a member of the team right now. Indicating to a lot of us, all right, this is going to have to come at a price. They were not going to bring him back with $41.5 million on the books or whatever that number was. And so this was the only move if he wanted to keep playing football, Chinee, because while he means a lot to that franchise at 39 years old, coming off the season that he had last year, we feel like we're staring at the cliff. And for Pittsburgh to willingly walk over that line with him, it was going to have to be much closer to their terms, because they need a lot of help around him to try and fix this.
Yeah, Janae Angola Jr. here talking about the two deals. One, Ben Roethlisberger re-signing now with the Pittsburgh Steelers, sort of changing up that contract to sort of help the team. But on the other side, there's a lot of conversation about Russell Wilson and his contract. And our own ESPN NFL reporter, Diana Rossini, reported today on a number of platforms. Shout out to Diana, who's working. Not only talking about salary caps, but when it comes to the Seattle Seahawks, Diana Rossini reported that not only have the Seahawks started to answer teams' calls, they're now, you know, sort of having conversations about it. On the Pat McAfee show, she said, quote, "I know there's been calls made on both sides, going to Seattle and from Seattle to other teams." And then she also tweeted that, "I was told the Seahawks are not, quote, shopping Russell Wilson, but calls made from other teams inquiring have been answered, and then there's conversations." Junior, when you hear this, I'm thinking about Russell Wilson. Clearly, he's trying to apply a little pressure, especially now that we're talking about a division that got more competitive and where he stands moving forward, you know, as a quarterback in this league. But what message does this really send Seahawks fans? And I'm not just talking about Mina Kimes, but overall, a little bit of friction, and now you're hearing that they're answering calls when it comes to their star QB.
That this is more real than people were giving it credit for. Our stock line and my stock line has still always been, I thought he was going to end up back in Seattle, and I probably still think he is going to end up back in Seattle. Russell Wilson's one of those guys that's got a full no-trade clause in his contract, so that's going to be something that's present in this, and that's why the list that his agent gave our own Adam Schefter not too long ago of the four teams he would consider is particularly of interest in this spot. Maybe they could convince him to go somewhere outside of that if the deal's good enough, if it's a team he maybe hadn't considered. But, Chiney, this is indicating that, all right, the Seahawks are saying, if you want to play ball, we'll play ball and see if you like how it feels, knowing that we're willing to listen, we're willing to entertain offers now.
And realistically, and I guess my follow-up question, Junior, is what do you think dictates him staying? Is it his contract, or do you think that there actually is a sense of belief that we can make this all work?
I think it's going to be about what someone's willing to pay, because now if these conversations are starting to happen, similar to what we talked about with Sam Darnold the other day in New York, maybe the New York staff came in and loved Sam Darnold. Maybe they're as committed to him as someone like Dan Orlovsky thinks they should be, who Dan is going to join us here in about 20 minutes on this show. But if not, and if a certain price comes their way that they can't possibly turn down, you can rethink a lot. And maybe the Seattle Seahawks are sitting here in that same position where they don't want to get rid of Russell Wilson. They want to keep one of the five best quarterbacks in pro football. Huh, funny idea. Imagine that. But all of a sudden, if other teams have seen what's going on there, heard Russell Wilson's cries, and are willing to ante up, maybe the Seahawks are now realizing and now making it known, we're more receptive to that idea, so come to us with your king's ransom, and maybe we'll listen to it, and maybe we'll make what most people would view as a mistake, letting this caliber of player walk.
Yeah, but doesn't that just hurt your team overall by sending out, you know, we just talked about the messages that the Jets said, like, hey, we're taking calls when it comes to Sam, and you sort of call that a bluff earlier this week. But in this instance, it seems like the tensions are unique, where the quarterback has leverage, the overall franchise is respected, and now you can't really call a bluff. It just seems sort of as it is in real time.
It seems tense, and we've heard this from a number of people. I think it was Diana with us the other day who said this situation is not as tense as what's going on in Houston. Like, Deshaun Watson and what's happening in that situation, we need to set off to the side. And there's differences in all this, right? Deshaun's got a ton of power, but there's a ton of hate in that situation, clearly between those two sides. Sam Darnold and the Jets, Sam doesn't have any power or leverage in that situation. And it's no disrespect to him. We want players to be able to control their agency, but he hasn't had the success that dictates that. And so now we go out and we're kind of in the middle with Seattle, where Russ has a ton of power, and understandably so in this situation. But I don't think the feelings are as hard there, Chiney. And so I think they're going to do this dance right now. But ultimately, it is in the Seahawks' best interest, both long-term and short-term, by the way, in this division, to just do some of the things that Russ outlined. Like, I don't know. At the end of the day, it sounds like a pride thing, Chiney, where because Russ is telling you, I want this, you're ignoring the obvious good things that he's suggesting that would make the team better objectively, especially based on what we've seen this offseason in that division.
It's the messenger. It being Russ and also him being one of the forefront faces of the league, I do think that is why probably they might be a little bit more defensive instead of receptive. And I made this analogy to Giannis Antetokounmpo because we knew when he had that impending free agency a year away, right? Similar timelines, a year away, it made it easier for the Bucks to say, oh, shoot, we got a good thing. We've got to do exactly what he has to say. We have to do exactly what he asked us to do for us to be successful. And they went and they executed, and we'll see if they win a championship. But we know that they're going to be contenders because they have him on the roster. It'll be interesting to see how the Seattle Seahawks sort of respond, even though they're, I mean, they found success as a franchise. The difference is the Bucks haven't since, man, like a long, like 1980s, 1985. So different timelines, but same situation.
And that's the important difference in this, though, is where they are in the timeline. Seattle's drank from that cup already. They've been to a Super Bowl, won one, lost the other one. But Pete Carroll feels like he carries that clout. That organization feels like it carries that clout. And they're willing to look and say, we've turned over a lot of guys and remained a playoff team through all of that. Maybe we can weather one more, versus the Bucks, who are trying to make it there and stay relevant in the same process, something that's been difficult for them to come by. How is it going to work out for the Seahawks? We're not sure. But again, Diana Rossini, our ESPN NFL reporter, was told the Seahawks aren't shopping Russell Wilson, but calls made from other teams inquiring have been answered. And picking up the phone is half the battle. But coming up next, we've been celebrating on this show the MVP race through the first half of the season, coming up to the All-Star weekend. But coming up next, is all the celebration in Philadelphia right now over Joel Embiid also tinged with a little bit of regret? We'll get to why next. Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
FOMO.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
We will talk to our favorite uncle, ESPN NFL analyst Dan Orlovsky, in about 10 minutes, the former NFL quarterback and also UConn quarterback. I can't wait to talk to him because, Junior, I think it's the first time we've talked since he's been at Disney World, right?
Oh, my God, that's right. Yes, Dan Orlovsky took the family down to Disney World, which, Chennai, I can tell you, as a kid, when my dad finished, his last year was at the Miami Dolphins, and then we ended up in Orlando. And that was when he kind of started working for Disney, the ESPN. And so we had the park passes when I was a kid living in Orlando, which was awesome for me. And I only found out later in life, so difficult for my parents to try and navigate that park with little kids. So I'm hoping Dan survived it all right.
So hard. And I'm sure he did just fine. He probably, you know, rode a lot of rides. He seems like he's the type. Chennai Golick Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Chennai Ogwumike and Mike Golick Jr. And I will say, when it comes to Disney World or Disneyland, it's always been fun. But I remember when I was with the Connecticut Sun, before we played Book It, which I'm so excited for, when I was playing for the Connecticut Sun, we went, I don't know what theme park is nearby. I can't remember. Somewhere on the East Coast, right? New England.
Oh, Six Flags. Yeah.
Six Flags.
Six Flags is in Massachusetts.
So, like, I hadn't been because I didn't go in college. And so, you know, rookie year, I'm going like, oh, yeah, you know, good times from high school, middle school. I go there. I sit on this ride. I do it once. And after that, I'm like, I'm going home. Like, this is no longer fun for me. I was actually scared. I'm at that age, you know, 25, 26, 27. And I was like, this is it. I can't do it anymore, Junior. I feel like you probably are the type to still go.
Oh, no, yeah. I'm still all in on those right now. Shout out to Lake Compounds right across the street from ESPN. An unbelievable experience for everyone and the site of the ESPN picnic every year. Got a lot of free soda there.
A classic.
An out-and-out classic in that spot there. It's one of my favorite experiences, and you can book that. Let's do it now. All right, guys, Book It. You know the drill. You add Book It to any of your hot take. It's a hot take multiplier. It allows you to feel like Stephen A. Smith, if only for a moment.
You can book it.
Put it in the books.
You know what time it is. It's Book It time, damn it.
I'm still saying no.
I want to be very clear. Those were sodas when I was a kid. It became beers now. Chennai Ogwumike Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Book It is brought to you by Body Armor Light Sports Drink, made with no artificial sweeteners and no sugar added to hydrate your active lifestyle. Travis is going to read us the takes. If we like them, they're spicy enough. We're going to book it. Shout, cool sounders. Everyone feels great. If we don't, we won't, and we'll move on. Travis, you ready to not mess this
Let's
up?
Let's go. Come on, Travis.
I'll do my best to not be James Harden and screw up at the end.
Oh, whoa, slander.
All right, we'll go, Chennai, with you first. Joel Embiid has established himself as the MVP front runner. You going to book it?
I'm going to book it.
Yes.
Woo. Okay.
You guys see my thinking? My strategy?
I was
going to
say, if you're not watching on ESPN Plus, that looked like ESPN Plus, that looked like Chennai in deep prayer.
I was praying about this. I think that it's going to be interesting down the stretch how Kevin Durant's return affects James Harden's, you know, MVP race, and how Anthony Davis's return affects, you know, LeBron James's MVP race, which leaves Joel Embiid as the sole answer for success for the Philadelphia 76ers. And if they stay at the top of the standings, I think Joel Embiid right now sort of has an edge based on momentum.
Chennai, I am not going to book that. I'm still going to rock with the James
respect,
Harden.
That's not good enough.
The James Harden MVP train on this one, solely because I think that return of Kevin Durant is going to be an asset. I think we've got the MVP candidates marked now, and so all KD coming back does is put more eyeballs on that situation and create more opportunities for Harden to do the thing he's gotten the most credit for this time around, distribute the basketball. That's been the difference so far. What do we got next, Travis?
All right, Mike, the 76ers will regret not trading Ben Simmons for James Harden. You going to book that?
Oh, yeah, I'm absolutely booking this. And
damn it, I ain't playing.
Listen, Ben Simmons has been great. He has been an unbelievable defensive force during the course of the season, but he ain't even the MVP on his own team right now. And so if you're going to tell me that the team that attached a hemi to their already great situation in Brooklyn is not going to make you regret doing that same thing that could have helped your MVP candidate in Joel Embiid even more, made that offense look even better, I think that's only human, Chennai, even if Ben Simmons has been great.
Kendrick Perkins just joined us here on Chennai Ogwumike Jr. not too long ago. You can check out the full conversation where he was spitting bars on the NBA. And he even said, look, you know, at this point, James Harden is playing his best basketball out of anyone in the league. So I know that they regret not, you know, sort of making that move probably right now.
And we appreciate doing this without Cliff here today, our resident Philly fan, even though Jake is the peak bull around here. Jake, you'd agree.
Double. He's a good
job. They call me El Jefe down in Philadelphia.
My God. Chennai Ogwumike Jr. here on ESPN Radio with El Bull. We're playing Book It here. Getting the spicy takes out here. Travis, what do we got next?
All right, Chennai, the Jets should put down the phone when it comes to Sam Darnold. You going to book that?
I'm not going to be able to book this one just because, especially, I like this idea that Junior keeps bringing up. You know, pair head coach with new quarterback. And on top of it, in a year where, you know, I know they have a lot of flexibility, but principle-wise, having a rookie quarterback contract can only look more lucrative, especially with someone that can start fresh. So I'm not booking it.
I think if your idea is time here, and I understand the thought of, all right, trade that second pick back and acquire resources, probably more than you'd get for dealing Sam Darnold, but I am not going to book it, Janae. I'm with you. I think that timeline matters here most. When it's going to be a risk on either side, when you're going to be wondering about the production you're going to get, I'm going to take, even though Sam Darnold's on the young side age-wise, younger contractually to try and make that build. All right, Travis, we got time for one more here?
Yep. Janae, Coming to America will be better than Space Jam 2. You going to book that?
Oh, this one hurts. This one hurts because we've got my African culture versus... I think I can speak. I don't know if I can speak. Kind of my sister. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Like, I can't do this one. I can't book it. Space Jam 2 is about to be lit.
No.
It's going to be crazy. And that's largely because my family, you know?
I was going to say, Chinee dropping major spoilers right there now for the people that aren't paying attention here. I hope you are.
Don't talk, people.
Go back.
I don't want to get in trouble. Y'all got me in trouble with that question.
Not going to do it again. But I will say, Chinee, I am going to say, I'm going to say yes, based on the previews I've seen already for Coming to America, the sequel to one of my favorite movies of all time. They got an easy formula. Play the hits on this one. Give me the barbershop scenes in here. Give us a couple of the other staples from the first movie, and we're going to be good. And we got to get one more in here, Chinee Ngolick Jr., because this is brought to you by Body Armor Light Sports Drink. No artificial sweeteners, no sugar added to hydrate your active lifestyle as we play Book It here. We got to get this one in right now. Travis, go ahead.
All right, time to finish strong. I'm like Harden. Mike, Chinee's got to work on her left-hand dribbling. You going to book that?
All right, so do we have the video of this one right now that we can watch on ESPN Plus?
Whoa.
Of Chinee Ngolick's workout from earlier today? Is that what
I thought
we're
it was
going to
be my greatest hits, my highlights. Use my right, not my left.
I just want to know if
are you booking it? I need to know if you're booking this, I need to work.
I need to see the video of this if we're going to get it. But Chinee, just blindly, I'm going to say yes based on what you told us earlier today. That you don't have a left hand.
No, I have a left hand. It works. It's just it doesn't work as well as my right.
Oh, here we go. We've got the video up here right now in the workouts. All right, we see the ball handling good. We see the left hand not really getting involved right now. Chinee, how would you assess this?
I mean, this is my go-to. Like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. My right works very well, and they know exactly where I'm going. Okay, here's my left. It's doing all right.
Okay.
It's doing all right.
I can say for anyone not watching on ESPN Plus right now, the handles look pretty good, Chinee. I am actually feeling bad for doubting you right now.
Well, this was actually the warm-up, and I'll show you the last. I had to do that then between the legs and crossover back and forth. Okay, so I still need to work. Hey, we're trying to win a championship here, Junior, so I need to work on my left. You can book that.
We can absolutely book that. We are in the pursuit of greatness around here.
Shout out to Dash. It was his birthday, and I forgot about it. That's Dash, my trainer.
Now we can say a belated birthday to Dash, Chinee's trainer, who's doing a great job helping her grind and get ready for this upcoming WNBA season. But coming up next, as one team in the NFL tries to get ready for their upcoming season, did they already make a mistake at the quarterback position? We'll ask our friend and ESPN NFL analyst Dan Orlovsky that next after this word from Indeed. Now, when you own a business, you're the owner of everything, sales, finance, and customer service. Fortunately, Indeed's uniquely qualified to help you really with your own hiring. Right when you sponsor a job post, Indeed's Instant Match searches through millions of resumes in their database and is going to deliver candidates whose resumes fit your job description immediately. Then, you can invite them to apply to your job right away. Indeed's going to deliver 4 times more hires than the other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. Learn more at Indeed.com/credit. Big Ben back in Pittsburgh. Is this the right move? Figure that out next here on ESPN Radio.
Janae Ngolick Jr., the podcast.
Now, there is a story that is circulating involving a former national championship coach in the college football ranks. It's very complicated, and we will talk to one of the writers who wrote the story in about 10 minutes. But right now, we are Chinee Ngolick Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Chinee Ogwumike, Mike Ngolick Jr. holding it down. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And I'm so excited for this next guest. ESPN's NFL analyst Dan Orlovsky joins us on the Goodyear Hotline. And I'm so excited because we get to talk about quarterbacks to a former quarterback, but more importantly, I think this is the first time, Dan, that we've talked since you've been to Disney World. How was that?
Turn up. Disney was dope. Disney was good. Like, I thought they did an awesome job of making people feel safe. It was super clean. Way less human beings there, which makes Disney, like, super awesome. My kids are, like, old enough and big enough to do cool rides, so we did Rock and Roller Coaster, like, 400 times. I bribed my kids to go on Tower of Terror, something Mike would probably never do. So it was a lot of fun.
I am a Tower of Terror vet. You bite your tongue, Dan Orlovsky.
I can't do it anymore.
Janae's the one who actually said, Dan, she does not like roller coasters and big rides now that she's gotten older.
Gosh,
yeah,
dude.
I'm sorry.
I know.
Like, what do you mean you don't like roller coasters? Like, I don't like having fun. Like, what is scary about it? Do you think it's, like, going to be one of those random ones that the disaster happens at, pray to God,
yeah,
all that? Like,
Pretty much.
Yeah, but, like, I don't think that happens at Disney World. I think that, like, it could happen at a run-of-the-mill quote-unquote fair, potentially, but...
You're right. That is true. It won't happen there, but your girl still gets nervous. I think it's the adulting genes kicking in. Dan Orlovsky here joining us talking about the roller coaster rides he had in the NFL offseason. And for quarterbacks, it seems like there have been roller coaster rides, too, when it came to Ben Roethlisberger, because we just found out that he's officially back with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Adam Schefter reported that he was willingly, you know, reducing his pay to $14 million from $19 million in this final year of his contract. They spread the cash payment through 2022, lowered this team's salary cap hit by more than $15 million. So Ben is now under center for the Pittsburgh Steelers in 2021, Dan, with a reduced salary. How do you evaluate this move overall?
Yeah, the Steelers had no choice. I mean, they had no choice because they're still good. They're not going to be great. They're third in the division right now. And depending on how healthy Joe Burrow is, unless they fix some pieces, they're flirting with Cincinnati passing with them because of some of the movement that they're going to have on their football team. But they had absolutely no choice because – there was no other option. I think what's next is, one, fix the offensive line. Gojo, you know, it's like Villanueva, their left tackle, free agent. Banner, free agent. Pouncey, done. DeCastro's expensive. So, you know, like, they better fix the offensive line before anything, and that's going to be very difficult. Two, what are they going to do on offense? New offensive coordinator, Matt Canada, like, you can't do the same stuff you did last year. So, like, they got to get a better philosophy. They need to draft a back somewhat early. That's, like, a really good player because they need to get their run game going back. And then, you know, what's the plan with Juju? Are they going to let him walk? Are they going to tag him? Is Deontay Johnson going to cure the drops? And so they've got a lot of big moves left to even get back to, like, contending or thinking about getting into the playoffs.
All those still hanging in the balance for the Steelers as we talk to Dan Orlovsky, our ESPN NFL analyst. But we still got uncertainty in Seattle. Dan, Diana Rossini, our ESPN NFL reporter, saying that the Seahawks aren't shopping Russell Wilson, but they have fielded calls that have come in. Does this make it feel any more likely to you that Russell Wilson actually leaves Seattle this offseason?
Yeah, Mike, I feel like me last year would have said no shot. No shot. But I feel me this year is like, I don't know. It's just such a different timing of the NFL right now. I know it's unlikely because the cap space and the cap hit and all that stuff. But I don't think anything is off the table in the NFL this year. I honestly don't. And I've said this. I think the Seattle situation is one of two things. Russell Wilson is sick and tired of Pete Carroll. Sick and tired of a defensive minded head coach that just wants to run the football and play defense. If that's the case, you got to fire Pete Carroll and move forward with Russell Wilson, hire someone else. Or this is about Russell's brand and his legacy and trying to become the Magic Johnson of the NFL when it comes to business after playing. And if that's the case, his mind is made up. And then if you're Seattle, it goes, well, one more year is not going to change anything. We got to trade him now and get anything we can because his star is as big as it's ever been when it comes to player and value.
Pick up the phone, baby. So Seattle is taking calls. And also, Dan, New York, the New York Jets GM, Joe Douglas, he said that he was open to Sam Darnold offers, but at the same time downplayed the idea of trading him. And we all know that they have the number two pick. Which side, like, where are you leaning on all this, Dan?
Yeah, I go back and forth. I sway side to side. This is the way I look at the situation. It's the biggest decision of Joe Douglas's career. It's probably the biggest decision in the last 40 years for the New York Jets. If you're going to sit here and tell me we're going to take Zach Wilson because we think he's going to be just as good, if not better, than Sam Darnold, and we really reset the financial timetable, I don't think I can argue with you a ton. The resetting of the financial timetable is obviously a big deal. But holy smokes, is this a big decision. Because here's the thing. If you take Zach Wilson or Justin Fields and – you trade Sam Darnold to the San Francisco 49ers, and those Wilson or Fields are just like okay, and Sam goes and balls in San Francisco, you're fired. You're done. And then if you keep Sam Darnold and you pass up on Zach Wilson, you become the Chicago Bears. If Sam doesn't pan out, you become the Bears, and you, oh my goodness, you didn't draft Deshaun Watson or Patrick Mahomes. And so it is a brutally difficult decision. I still believe Sam Darnold can play in the NFL, given even remotely okay help. I'm intrigued, super intrigued by Zach Wilson. The first three games of his season, I thought he stunk. His next five or six games, you're like, wow. Wow. He makes me say, Mike knows this because of our group text, he makes me say, holy fudge, more than any guy that I watch on tape in this draft. And so he's very intriguing.
Very intriguing, and you're right. Because of all the uncertainty this offseason around quarterbacks in general, I think it's putting even more stress on GMs than we've ever seen to be right and then to execute on that following up. Dan, you're the best. We're glad you survived Disney World. Happy to have you back, and we'll talk to you next
week.
Dan. All right, brother?
Later, squad. Hey, congrats on signing, Janae. I think you signed, right? Like, that's awesome.
I need a practice player. I'm ready to square up. Let's go, Dan.
You can get dunked on fast.
All right.
The Dan Orlovsky versus Chinne Ogumike one-on-one battle that I need so desperately filmed and streamed on ESPN Plus.
It'll be really fun.
That would be great. If you're also looking for hoops action, the college basketball season's heating up, and that means the Wendy's Wooden Watch has begun. Go to ESPN.com and search Wooden Watch for the list of the Wooden Award late season top 20 nominees as this season rolls on. The John R. Wooden Award presented by Wendy's. But coming up next, we have had news out of USA Today. Les Miles found to have had inappropriate behavior with female students while at LSU in 2013. An investigation done internally was unsealed by USA Today. We'll talk to one of the reporters that helped in that process next here on Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Janae Ogumike and Mike Golic Jr. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. It's time to get you information surrounding what we started all sort of collectively reading in the world of sports on USA Today. USA Today involving Les Miles, the current college football head coach at the University of Kansas. And the article on USA Today is titled, "Former LSU football coach Les Miles was banned from contacting female students after 2013 probe." And the information you need to know, first and foremost, Les Miles served as LSU's head football coach from 2005 to 2016. He led the Tigers to a national championship game twice, winning it in 2007. And at the height of his fame, per the article, as LSU's head football coach, Les Miles was accused of texting female students, taking them to his condo alone, making them feel uncomfortable, and on at least one occasion, kissing a student and suggesting they go to a hotel after telling her he could help her career. This all according to an internal investigation, a report released by LSU Today. Now, it is important to note that the allegations against Les Miles were just made public after USA Today sued for the records in January regarding the investigation that happened in 2013. LSU initially refused to release the records, and Les Miles intervened in a lawsuit, but now we are here with the story today. And now we're also joined on the Goodyear Hotline by Kenny Jacoby, USA Today investigative reporter who wrote the story alongside Nancy Armour and Jessica Luther. He joins us now on the Goodyear Hotline. Kenny, first and foremost, thank you for your time. But what really started you down the path of looking for this story and inquiring about the investigation involving Les Miles?
Thanks so much for having me. So for the last year or so, my colleagues and I have been investigating LSU's handling of sexual misconduct. And our investigation started with the way LSU was handling complaints against athletes and other students and mishandling those complaints, which prompted LSU to hire an outside firm to review its handling of Title IX investigations. But during our reporting, we got a tip about these allegations against Les Miles, and we started asking around. We were able to talk to a few folks about them, and we ended up placing a public records request, which, as you mentioned, LSU denied. And for the last 3 months, we've been fighting to get access to those records.
And so how much, what was the process like for that? How much pushback was there from the university? Because you guys detailed in here, that seemed to almost be part of the agreement early on to seal these documents back in 2013 was that there would be a fight if someone came looking?
Exactly, yes. And that was one of the more shocking things for us to actually see in the records that we got today, is that this seemed to have been a plan from the very beginning. You know, we got this record through the public records law in Louisiana. But at the time that they were conducting this investigation, it appears as if their theory was if they hire an outside law firm to do the investigation, then it can all be protected under the attorney-client privilege. And so when we requested it just a few months ago, sure enough, that is what they cited, attorney-client privilege. They also said that Les Miles' privacy rights under the Louisiana Constitution would be violated. And then Miles argued the same thing, too, when he joined in our court fight last month.
And again, Les Miles was accused of texting female students, taking them to his condo alone, making them feel uncomfortable. And the list sort of goes a little bit on and on. And when it comes to the repercussions, can you sort of explain those for those who have not read the article and what he had to do after this investigation was really made known for LSU?
Yeah, so the investigator for the outside firm did find that there can be little doubt that the conduct was inappropriate and unacceptable. However, they stopped short of saying, you know, Les Miles needs to be fired. What LSU ended up doing was issuing him a letter of reprimand, basically saying, if you do this again, then we might be able to terminate you. They also required him to attend 8 different one-hour sessions with an out-of-state attorney to apparently discuss what was appropriate as far as boundaries and other conduct, especially involving people who he has power over. And then the other thing that they did was hang on. I'm sorry. I may have to look at that again.
Nope, totally understand. Kenny Jacoby with us, USA Today investigative reporter, one of the reporters that wrote the article about former LSU head football coach Les Miles being banned from contacting female students after a 2013 probe. And Kenny, we've only got about a minute left here, but just to get an idea and give people an idea, how much power, how much oversight did Les Miles have over this area of football operations that would have affected these female students?
Yeah, so Les Miles had really all the power, and what he wanted, as this report showed, was to be able to personally interview and hire student workers. He became involved in this process around 2012, and it was unusual for him to do so. And you know, going back to your previous question, that was the last thing that they did, was they essentially barred him from continuing to have this sort of oversight and these personal relationships with these student workers. When he would interview them, he asked, you know, he sort of made a suggestion. You know, I can help you in your career. You know, after you graduate, you may be able to help me in my personal business. And that kind of turned into him inviting them to babysit his kids, inviting them Wow. into a car alone with him where he allegedly tried to kiss one of the students. But LSU afterward pretty much said, you are no longer allowed to be alone in meetings with student workers, and you are not allowed to be texting them, particularly on a non-university issued cell phone.
It's incredible reporting, an incredible job. Again, Kenny Jacoby, along with Nancy Armour and Jessica Luther, check out the article and the information on this. Kenny, we appreciate the time
and
the insight.
Kenny.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Obviously, a lot to unpack in that situation here, but again, a lot of it has the same tenets of an unfortunately familiar story, the power and misogyny inside of these big business-like settings that end up putting young women in compromising positions. More on that and everything else here on ESPN Radio next.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.